It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Series XM Channel 204, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo, Sling and Game Plus. Skill Alexander, how you doing? Jason Kahn is here. Chrissy Andrews from the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook. Guessing lines for week number seven in the NFL. I don't think hour one turned up anything, really. Like, that was pretty ho-hum guessing slate of the of half the schedule thus far. But what I want to get into here, because we just talked about the Houston side, because Green Bay at Houston, Chrissy just threw out as a game next week. So we talked about the Romeo Crennel thing. Chrissy, do you know what I'm about to talk about with Mike Vrabel? Are you hip to what he did yesterday?
Yeah, with the extra man on the field.
Okay.
But go ahead. I'll let you say it, and then I have a comment about it, too.
Yeah, so, okay. One of the staples of this show, A Numbers Game at Veasan, through the years, talking football, you may remember my conversations with Todd Wishnev about the rules in the NFL about two-point conversions and how you can manipulate it, how the rules are really skewed in favor of the offensive team at that point. And we've talked on this show about all the different little loopholes that coaches, there are very few of them, but coaches in the NFL can exploit. And one of the big ones we used to talk about was when the clock was north of 5 minutes. So in other words, when there was more than 5 minutes left in a football game, and a team was nursing a lead, Bill Belichick used to do it all the time. He used to take multiple delay of game penalties. And as long as you had more than 5 minutes on the clock, and no matter how many, you know, you did it when you were in an advantageous position up late in the game, you could take multiple delay of games and the clock would keep restarting. I think you could do it about three times and then they'd probably say, all right, we know what you're doing and you'll get a flag if you do it again. But Belichick did it a lot. And Mike Vrabel, who of course played for Belichick, started doing this with the Titans, and most famously last year, and we just were tickled by this, if you remember, in the playoff game against the Patriots themselves, Vrabel and the Titans were up 14-13 last year late. And during the fourth quarter, he exploited that same loophole in the rule book that allowed Tennessee to run 1 minute and 49 seconds off the clock without running a single play. And it was fitting because, again, as I said, it was the same strategy that Belichick, for instance, used all the time. He used it during a 33-0 win over the Jets in October of last year. So in that game in the playoffs, the Titans had a 4th-and-5 from the Patriots' 36-yard line with just 6:33 left to play. And Vrabel didn't want to kick a field goal because the weather was inclement, so he decided to punt the ball. But not until his team took a delay of game penalty, which took the clock down to 5:52 left. Following that penalty, the Titans got a fresh 25-second play clock. They let the new clock tick down to zero before taking a false start penalty, which didn't sit well with Belichick. Belichick was going nuts on the sideline because he's like, here's my guy using my thing against me. It was awesome. At that point, the clock was down to 5:28. Now, after being called for two penalties, the Titans were finally going to punt it, but then the Patriots, if you remember, jumped off sides, which allowed the Titans to take the clock down to 5:13. And then after that penalty, the Titans got another fresh 25-second clock. And by the time they finally snapped it, there was just 4:50 left to play, including the punt itself. The clock actually ticked down to 4:44, which means the Titans ran a total of 1 minute and 49 seconds off the clock before the Patriots took possession. You may recall the Titans end up winning it 20-13. Okay, so that was that. And they changed that rule, by the way. They changed the rule this offseason because they're like, you did it. They finally noticed it when it was done on a big playoff stage. And they're like, okay, we know what you're up to, buddy. Then enough of that rule, Bill Belichick and Mike Vrabel. But this was the first sign that Mike Vrabel was smarter than the average NFL coach, right? He was a Belichick disciple. Mm-hmm. So yesterday, and again, shout out to Derek Stevens, who picked up on this also. He mentioned it on Follow the Money this morning. Yesterday, the same drive we're talking about where Romeo Crennel ultimately decided we're going for two up seven. And we know how the rest of that went out. We just talked about it. Titans matriculate down the field. They force overtime. They win in overtime. By the way, win for bettors, too. Just a tough beat for Houston Texans bettors. So yesterday, Vrabel, it's got to be the best decision of week six. And props, the real people who talked about it the most are in a Titans subreddit group. Like, that's how, because the announcers, of course, said nothing. They had no idea what was going on in this. So the Titans trailed Texans 30-29. They had just turned over the ball on a Ryan Tannehill interception. So Houston, up 30-29, had a 2nd-and-1 at the Titans 25-yard line with 3:49 remaining on a running clock. Now follow me here. And let me just pause to say, it's Gil Alexander and Chris Andrews right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, guessing lines, but also talking about this amazing thing that Mike Vrabel did yesterday, the difference between winning coaches and losing coaches in the NFL. So second and one at the Titans 25 with 3:49 remaining on a running clock. So, you know, they got a second and a third down. They only need one yard. The odds of them converting that, the Texans, that is very high. But if the Titans were penalized 5 yards, the clock would stop and it would become a first down for the Texans and it would save approximately 40 seconds of clock time. And again, while it cost them the second down conversion, they were likely to give it up anyway. So Mike Vrabel sent on an extra defender, putting 12 men on the field on purpose and setting up the penalty. And if you watch the video, and shout out to Mike Herndon at Mike Miracles on Twitter if you want to see this. Mike Herndon at Mike Miracles. The video shows cornerback Jonathan Joseph looking really confused. Like, coach, I'm not supposed to be out here kind of expression. And Vrabel sort of telling him through his mask, because we can't see what he's actually saying, but basically saying, hey, don't worry about it. Everything's okay. Just stay out there. Just stay out there kind of thing. He does a great sell job and gets the penalty. And so in the end, yeah, they matriculated it down to the 1 yard line. They ended up getting the touchdown. And then they shot themselves in the foot with a terrible decision to go for two. And again, the rest is history, but they wouldn't have had 1 minute and 45 seconds to work with the Titans had Vrabel not exploited yet another thing in the rule books where he's like, well, it's not even exploiting. It's, you know what? It's a positive EV. It is a win probability plus for him to do this right now, to throw out a 12th man and take a penalty, stop the clock, give them another set of downs. Genius, Chrissy. Genius. That's the difference between their win and their loss.
Okay. One thing. You said the announcers didn't say anything. Well, Chris Gannon kind of said, well, there's a mental mistake by Mike Vrabel having 12 men on the field.
They said the opposite.
Okay, now hang on.
Yeah.
They said the opposite. Warren Sharp pointed out he did the exact same thing in 2018. They were playing the Jets. The announcer again was Rich Gannon. And Rich Gannon again said this, well, you know, he said it first in 2018, obviously, that another mistake by Mike Vrabel, a mental error by Mike Vrabel, by having 12 men on the field. And both times, obviously, Vrabel did it on purpose to save the time. And it went past Rich Gannon twice. I got to say, it would have gone past me, too, had somebody not explained it to me. So I think Vrabel, and by the way, just to remind people out there, he was originally a Steeler. And I can't remember if they cut him or traded him for some late draft choice to get him over to New England. And I remember at the time thinking, are they crazy? This guy is a terrific player, and he's had a great career. I don't know how many Super Bowl rings he has, and he's going to be a terrific coach, too. He's already in certain – I'm not going to put him up with Belichick yet, but he's certainly in that upper echelon. The guy really shows a lot of high-level thinking, higher than most of these coaches, certainly.
He joined the Patriots as a free agent, by the way, 2001.
Oh, did he? Okay. Yeah. So I think that Steelers might have just cut him.
Yeah, could be. It's just an amazing play, amazing heads-up play or heads-up coaching decision by Mike Vrabel. And again, that's the difference between winning and losing. And certainly Romeo Crennel then helped out as well after that. But they don't get there without that decision from Vrabel. So the Titans remain undefeated. I'm guessing, because Jason kind of tipped me off on this, that the Titans is the next game.
No, actually, I got Seahawks and Cardinals next.
Oh, Seahawks and Cardinals. Pardon me. Seahawks and Cardinals. Yeah. Seahawks are coming off a bye, and the Cardinals haven't played yet. Cardinals play the Cowboys again tonight in the second of the two Monday night games, the originally scheduled Monday night game between the Cardinals and the Cowboys, where the Cardinals are now 1.5-point dogs in this game. I don't know. Seattle shouldn't be 3-point. See, here's the thing. Seattle's undefeated, but good Lord. I mean, it's Russell Wilson escape jobs, as per usual. I'll split the difference between three in pick. I'll say Seattle minus 1.5.
Well, it's three with juice on the favorite, Seahawks being the favorite. And I have it higher than that. Wow. You know my opinion of Russell Wilson. And I do not want to go into Sunday's game rooting against Russell Wilson. Because first of all, I think the Cardinals lose tonight. So, I mean, I'm opening 3.5 on this one. They might jump in and take it because it's three with juice on the favorite. But I'm opening 3.5. And you know what? You want to bet against Russell Wilson, please do that. Please. Because I'm so tired of rooting against this guy every single week. And usually getting my hat handed to me at the end of the day.
Well, I'm with you.
So I like Seattle here.
I've said it many times. I hate betting against Russell Wilson. But you know who else I hate betting against? Kyler Murray, too. That might be my first play. That might be the first one I like here on Guessing Lines. Arizona. Again, sight unseen. They haven't played yet. They play tonight. But if it's more than three, I'll grab the Cardinals for sure in that one. They will be on short rest, though, as they play tonight. All right, let's do one more here.
The 49ers at the Patriots.
The 49ers at the Patriots. 49ers win last night. They beat the Rams by the score of 24-16 as 2-point home dogs. Jimmy G gets in the game, 23 of 33, 3 touchdowns, no picks, no sacks. Kittle, no surprise, his biggest target, 7 for 109 and a touchdown. So San Francisco beats the Rams. Probably the fewest plays of a primetime NFL game I've watched, quite frankly, yet this year, because the Dodgers and the Dodgers and the Braves had their Game 7 going last night, and I was far more invested in that affair than I was in this football game, if I'm just being honest. But I saw enough, and Jason was telling me you saw the right play, which was that Jared Goff pick in the end zone when it was 21-9 and the Rams had a shot there,
yeah.
And then he threw that pass in the end zone. New England yesterday, this was the big one, this is the biggest survivor loss yesterday. New England loses to Denver, and they lose to Denver by the score of 18-12. Denver scored on their first six possessions, all six Brandon McManus field goals, and those points held up. New England ended up Cam's numbers. Cam was 17-25 in the end for 157, but he did gain 76 yards on the ground on 10 carries with a touchdown. But he only threw, so he ran for 76. He only threw for 157. Edelman threw two passes on this final drive. So here's the thing in this game. It was 18-12, and it was, well, first of all, it was 18-9. And then all of a sudden, Drew Locke and the Broncos decided, you know what, we're going to throw downfield, because that's what you do. Like, if you had told me, are you the team that's up 18-9 or the team that's down 18-9? So Locke throws two consecutive picks deep downfield. The first one leads to a New England Patriots field goal that makes it 18-12. The second one, you're like, are you kidding me? What are you doing? Milk the clock, make them use their timeouts, win this. So the Patriots end up with the ball and a chance to win. And you're like, I can't believe this is happening. They go to two Edelman trick plays. Edelman ends up 2 for 2 for 38 yards. But in the end, the Broncos get the stop. And the Patriots lose. Three turnovers for the Patriots in this game. So they were -1 in that department, despite the Drew Lock picks late. It's the Patriots' worst start at 2-3 since 2001. And get this. The first loss under Bill Belichick when not allowing a touchdown. How about that?
Oh.
San Francisco at New England. Now, this is going to be interesting. I was going to say the first hour of this show, there wasn't much in terms of a line discrepancy. But we've started out with a bang here in this one. I'll say New England -3 just because they're the Patriots.
Yeah, it's a little higher. I see 1.5, a lot of juice on the dog, mostly 3 juice on the favorite. So you know at the South Point we open, or we do everything at 11-10, not just open. We do everything at 11-10. I'm opening 3 flat. And first of all, my punt ratings on the Niners have been like all over the place because all the injuries they've had, including Garoppolo, but also a myriad of other players. But are we sure the Patriots are any good?
No, we're definitely not.
And are we now wondering, or are we now saying to ourselves, oh, this is why nobody wanted to sign Cam Newton to an exorbitant contract in the offseason? because he has not looked good. He had one good game in the opener, and we thought it was the second coming. But he has not looked very good since then. To me, three to me is a take. I would take three with the 49ers. I think this New England team, they're suffering from the same exact thing that they suffered from last year. No skilled position players to help a quarterback. And last year they had Brady. This year they don't. They have Newton, who I think maybe is just a shell of himself. So I think three to me is a definite take for the 49ers. And I'm going to open three, but it's three with juice. So they'll probably lay it to me and have at it. You're welcome to it.
I was really hoping you were going to tell me New England was like a 4.5-point favorite. Because that I just wanted there to be a New England bump, but maybe there isn't one anymore after seeing that yesterday. So three it is. By the way, it's an interesting, you keep saying, you know, are we sure this team is good? Are we sure that team is good? That's sort of been a theme on MSG Plus on Primetime Action, the show that I do with Matt Brown and Danielle Alvari and Kelly Bidlin, where we do in-game betting. We talk now specifically in the AFC, we get who's good. Kansas City's good. Baltimore's good. Buffalo and Tennessee, Pittsburgh as well. You can't really deny that those are good football teams. Maybe there's a flaw here and there with them. Okay, none of them are perfect, but those are good football teams. Can we say there isn't a glaring flaw in any of the NFC teams? Maybe Tampa Bay? Maybe Tampa Bay's the best of the bunch after what we saw yesterday?
Might be.
But like the rest of them, I just don't know. Green Bay's defense isn't that good? Certainly, going back to the AFC, certainly New England. No, they're not good at all. There's a lot of teams that are, first of all, there's a lot of bad teams, right? I used to say this about baseball the last 3 years. The chasm between the haves and the have-nots have widened increasingly every year. You're seeing guys, you know, who aren't aces at minus 270 and minus 280 in games. We didn't see that 3-4 years ago. Football, man, there are so many bad teams. I'm not saying New England's one of them, but they're not good. So San Francisco at New England favored by three, and I might be with you. It might be a take on the Niners for me, even at that number. What is next, sir? Are we in the afternoon yet?
That game was the Cardinals game was the afternoon. Sorry, I didn't mean to skip. The Titans game is in the morning, so it must be at the end of the rotation because it moved or something like that. That
was no problem. What's next, Chris?
This is an afternoon game. Kansas City at Denver.
All right, Kansas City, we haven't seen them play. They're playing Buffalo again this afternoon. Don't forget, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific for the Bills-Chiefs game today. And the Chiefs are 5.5-point favorites there. But as far as the Chiefs at the Broncos in that win over the Patriots, Drew Lock, 10 of 24 for 189, no touchdowns, the two picks I just mentioned, sacked twice. So if it wasn't for those last couple of sequences of you know, those last drives, he would have had a pretty, you know, clean game, at least in terms of the turnovers, for sure, at the very least. But he had picks with 5:15 left in the game, up 18-9, which led to a field goal, as I mentioned. And then at 18-12, the next play from scrimmage with 3:14 left. And then the defense holds up with 58 seconds left. They finally stop the Patriots. Good Lord. Lindsay, 23 for 101. Tim Patrick, 4 catches for 101. The other thing about that game, Chrissy, one other last note about Denver and New England, besides the ridiculous lock picks, like what are the Broncos doing? You know how many penalties were called in that whole game? Three.
Yeah.
Three penalties. New England had one penalty for 4 yards net in that game. It's just amazing. They really are just holding these flags in their pockets. And as I mentioned, the Broncos scored on their first 6 possessions, but all were field goals. All of that said, again, barring anything unforeseen tonight with the Chiefs, Chiefs have got to be 10-point favorites here, right?
I see it anywhere between 8.5 and 9.5. My numbers come to 8.5. You know, Gil, I was looking through some of my notes, and when the Broncos were 0-3, let me see, who did they lose to? They lost to the Titans, the Steelers, and the Bucks. So all pretty good teams.
Yeah.
And really, again, except for the Buccaneers, had really a pretty good showing against the other two. I had it in my notes. I said, watch out for this team. Not that they're any good, but kind of the way I thought about Cincinnati. A team that could be a live dog covering a lot of numbers. And I'm going to stick with that. Now, I don't want to go too far off the number here because Kansas City's always going to attract a lot of money. But like I say, I see anywhere from 8.5 to 9.5. I'm going to go in the middle with a 9. And even though Kansas City, it's probably still the best team in the league, they're certainly right up there. But I think Denver's going to be that kind of team. Look out for them covering some big numbers. And this is, you know, 9 certainly a big number, especially for a home team. And I'm not circling Kansas City yet, or I mean Denver yet, but I would keep an eye on them and watch for them from here on in. Like I said, much situation like Cincinnati. If you see them catching a big number, take a second look at them because I think they might be worth a play. And they might be worth a play in this spot too.
You know what my relationship with Drew Lock is? I think I underrated him to begin with criminally, and now I think I'm overrating him. I think that might be the case with him.
Well, there's another guy can use some good coaching, and I'm not sure he's getting that in Denver.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right.
That's going to hold them back.
And I don't know what they were thinking. I mean, on a day when we're talking about Romeo Crennel and Ron Rivera, I do not know what the Broncos were thinking in the last stretch of that game. Play to win. My goodness. We'll get to some more lines to guess. Week 7 in the National Football League. Whole bunch more to get to, including the primetime games as well. Talk some baseball, though, in the short segment next, because I want to bring up, first of all, what an unbelievable stretch for Mookie Betts defensively for the Dodgers. But what the Braves didn't do, what Brian Snitker didn't do, and John Smoltz didn't say anything about this, and John Smoltz is the best. It's interesting. See what you think about this. Coming back, a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To a numbers game with Gil Alexander.
Numbers game brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. If you need to hire, by the way, you need Indeed as well. You instantly get a list of quality candidates from Indeed's resume database the moment you sponsor a job. Get started at Indeed.com/credit. It's Gil Alexander. It's Chris Andrews. World Series is set. The World Series odds for the series, courtesy of BetMGM. Dodgers -193. The National League champion LA Dodgers and the American League champion Tampa Bay Rays +160 coming back on the series price. Again, courtesy of BetMGM. This game yesterday, I just want to point this out. And Chrissy, let's bring you in for this as well. John Smoltz is one of my favorite announcers in any sport. Love, love, love everything that John Smoltz adds to a broadcast. But it was interesting yesterday in what became the fateful inning for that series between the Braves and Dodgers. And let's just say again, Mookie Betts, as great as the Dodgers, the reason I played the Dodgers again, had them series price after game two, series price after game three, and after game four. But it was that lineup last night, just a killer lineup that they put out there where I'm just like, I don't care who they're pitching. I'm going to war with these guys. Where their 7, 8, 9 were Pollock, Peterson, and Taylor. By the way, it's a pinch hit homer for Kike, from Kike Hernandez that tied it up. And then get this final sequence right. Did anybody, first of all, and how ironic that in the year that it was supposed to be the most random, the two number one seeds end up getting to the World Series. Interesting about that. But how do you let Chris Martin face two slugging lefties? And this is the one thing that John Smoltz did not bring up yesterday, and shout out again to my buddy E, who pointed this out before it happened as well yesterday. Let me give credit there to where it's due. But in that seventh inning, so Chris Martin comes in the sixth, I think, to face one batter. Could have taken him out because he ended an inning. But instead he comes in, he faces Max Muncy. He does strike out Muncy swinging to start the bottom of the seventh with the score tied 3-3. Then he gets Will Smith out on strikes looking, but then they still have him in. Brian Snitker still has him in against the lefty Cody Bellinger. And Bellinger is just, I mean, some of these Dodgers at bats are just unbelievable. And then Bellinger just hits it to kingdom come. And Smoltz didn't say anything. I thought, and that was the moment in the game where you're like, was he asleep? Was he really like tempting fate with that? What was your handle on a game like that last night versus the Sunday Night Football game, Chris?
of a Sunday night football game was one of the biggest games of the year. So that's unfair.
Really?
That was, I mean, monster handle on that game. But if you were going to compare it to, say, like, the Detroit-Jacksonville game or the Washington and Giants game, you know, games like that, well, then it was a lot higher than that. You know, it was a very good handle for a baseball game. But I don't even know the percentage. It'd be very low.
Why do you
the Tampa Bay Green Bay game?
Why do you think, besides it being your typical Sunday night chase game in the NFL, right? Your getaway game. Your get out game. Why do you think that game specifically, the Niners and the Rams, was that heavily bet?
Well, part of it was the three. That always, and I know we've talked about it, many times on your show, 17% of all games, the number doesn't matter. Yep. Or only 17% doesn't matter. But like, ask Roxy, says, move a game from 2.5 to 3 and see what kind of action you create, that's exactly it, that's always a huge part of it is what was the number? Because, I mean, I think tonight's game is a pretty interesting game, Dallas and Arizona. But there's no 3, there's no 7. We're right around the pick-em mark. It's just not going to get the same kind of play that a game, involving a 3 is going to get. I mean, we were up to 3.5 at one point with the Rams over the 49ers, even though we closed the game 2. That means a lot.
All right. We'll get some lines in a minute, but just last thing about the National League Championship Series. And again, the Astros couldn't quite come back from a 3-0 deficit. They tried to match the history of the Boston Red Sox back in 2004, who came back from a 3-0 deficit in the ALCS against the New York Yankees. The Red Sox did do it in 2004, famously. The Astros couldn't quite get there. They managed to tie it up at 3 apiece, and then lost in 7. But the Dodgers and Corey Seager, who I had, everybody here knows I had MVP tickets on for the season. He ends up getting the NLCS MVP, 5 homers, 11 RBIs. Mm-hmm. He deserves it. But boy, Mookie Betts, shoestring catch in the 3rd inning of game 5 that kept the Dodgers deficit to 2-0. Game 6, top of the 5th with 2 outs, runner on, LA up 3-0, makes that catch against the wall. And then in game 7, Freddie Freeman looking to extend a 3-2 lead, and Mookie does it again. We'll get some more lines. We're coming back right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Is it true, Jason, that Donald Trump specifically called to find out when this show was over so his motorcade could start to the airport? Is that true?
Yeah, I took the message.
Oh, God. By the way, every game means something more at BetMGM Sports, and new customers have a chance to win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 wager on the Cardinals-Cowboys game tonight. If either team scores a touchdown, you win. Just sign up and make your first bet with bonus code VSIN100. Take advantage of the special offer. If you're ready for showtime, then you're ready for BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Download the BetMGM app today and use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1. Just $1 on Arizona versus Dallas, and if either team scores a touchdown, you win. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia only. Please, as always, gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. When does he get off air? It's a terrible Trump. But that's when we got to contend with that after this. Am I going to be able to get back home and without running into that motorcade? Probably not.
Well, he's going to be coming south.
Oh yeah,
so
we're going to run right into it.
No, I just don't know if they'll be closing both sides of the freeway or not.
No one wants to hear about these problems. We got a few more games. I think we have several more games to get to. That's just airing out my traffic grievances already on air, Chrissy. We have a couple more before we get to prime time. We have a couple more, right, for week 7.
Well, we're jumping ahead here to prime time.
Oh, okay.
And they're all over the place here, but we want to go in rotation order. Am I correct?
Okay, sure. We can do it that way.
Okay. All right. The Sunday night game. Tampa Bay at Las Vegas.
All right, we talked about Tampa Bay. Big win for those of us who had Tampa Bay, but they really, they got players back. They got Godwin back specifically. Tom Brady yesterday, 17 of 27 for 166. Didn't have to do much once the defense got them underway, as we talked about earlier, the one pick six, and then the other interception, consecutive drives for the Packers. Four plays is all it took to have the two interceptions. The next one was returned all the way to the 2 yard line, and a 10-0 Packers lead was immediately reversed into a 14-10 Buccaneers lead. 38 straight for the Bucs. They win it 38-10. Ronald Jones, the second, 23 for 113 with two touchdowns. Gronk, 5 for 78, and his first touchdown as a Buccaneer. Good for Gronk. Tampa Bay, no penalties for no yards. How about that? You don't see that very often. Zero penalties, 0 yards for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're talking about only three penalties were called in the New England Denver game, with New England getting one. Well, how about a clean sheet from the Buccaneers? And they're playing the Raiders. The Raiders will come off a week of rest. They have a bye week this week. We know that because Brent traveled all the way to Montana for the bye week. He's like, I'm taking the week off. Kind enough of Brent to do the Megapod, though. So it'll be Tampa Bay at the Raiders here at what is just, the year of 2020 and COVID. What a sad thing for Raiders fans who would have loved to have had Tom Brady to see at their brand new stadium. I'll say Tampa Bay, it's going to be more than three. I'll say 3.5. Tampa Bay minus 3.5.
No, it's 3 with juice on the dog.
Wow. Yeah,
so 3 is, I'm going to open 3. My numbers,
respect, you know, for the,
like,
Raiders.
4.5. Yeah, my numbers are 4.5 with no home field. I think you got to give them a little home field here. So I think the 3 sounds fine. But yeah, a lot of respect for the Raiders. Like I said, we do everything flat at the South Point. So we'll open a 3 flat. They'll probably bet me the Raiders because I see it all 3 with juice on the dog.
Explain that to people who are tuning in for the first time, Chrissy. Explain what you mean by it, because they're like, flat? What do you mean he doesn't have half points? That's not what you mean.
No, we have half points. Yeah. We do have that. But we do everything at minus 110 or 11-10, however you want to phrase that. We don't use like 3 minus $1.20 or 7 minus $1.20 or, you know, any of that stuff. Everything is minus 110, you know, on the board for sides and totals. Now, first half, second halves, those, we do some finagle in there. But as far as like the games themselves, no, everything is minus 110. Everything. Keep making it as simple as possible. And Michael Gaughan and Frank Todi, his longtime partner, have insisted on it. And the thing was, I don't resist it at all. And when I was at Calneva for 22 years, I did the exact same thing. You know, I mean, we use minus 110. That's what the number is. And, you know, I know there's probably places where it fits better, or I don't blame them for doing that. But for us, this is what we want to do because we want to bring in, you know, your everyday customer, and it's very, you know, it's not that complex. You know, game might go from 3 to 3.5, but you are going to lay minus 110. That is a promise that we have here at the South Point.
Let's take a couple of tweets here at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the tweets. Adam Rosenberg, Vrabel is absolutely the best coach in the NFL. Remember how shrewd he was on that delay of game penalty last year against the Bats in the playoffs. Yeah, we discussed it this morning, Adam. I effing love this guy. This sort of thing isn't happening without analytics. Yeah, well, no, we went through the whole delay of game thing and how it's no longer permitted. Talking about Vrabel's intentional 12 men on the field yesterday, which is the lesser of the two things discussed from that game. The more discussed thing, obviously, being Romeo Crennel's decision to go for 2 up 7 late, 36-29. Bainbridge DeWeese has this to say about that. Mm-hmm. Similar to Chrissy's question last week about Russell Wilson, do the analytics take into account that Derrick Henry is on the other team? I think, this is Bainbridge talking, I think Romeo knew that if the Titans did get the touchdown, the 2-point would be much higher than 50-50. That's an interesting tweet. My response, and I'm curious what yours would be, Chrissy, my response is, I think we're giving Romeo too much credit with that.
You know, Bainbridge, I know we mentioned him last week on the show. It might have been 2 weeks ago. had a pretty observant tweet in that regard too. So that was a pretty good one. But I still think, listen, we're not ready to score the two yet. He's still got to go down and get a touchdown in the first place.
That's right.
You know, I'm still, we aren't in a position. We're not automatically giving them six and then telling them to go for two.
And Romeo would have said that because he was questioned on this after the game. And he said, no, I was just trying to put him away, basically, right? If you get to, if you get it to nine, you know, game, set, match, he would have said on top of that, at that moment, he would have said like, well, because I also thought that, you know, Derrick Henry, blah, 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 more than 50 on 2 points. But it is an interesting tweet, Bainbridge, and we thank you for bringing that up. All right, give me the matchup. We won't have time because we're going to go to break, but what are the matchups that are left?
Jaguars at the Chargers, Steelers at the Titans, Bears at the Rams on Monday night.
Ooh, those are a couple good ones at the end there, including a battle of undefeateds between the Steelers and the Titans. All right, we'll guess those lines and we'll talk about what we like. So far, I'm thinking Arizona. Let's see here. Arizona and San Francisco, I think I like the best. We'll review all of it. Chrissy will give what he likes the best as well. That's the point of the exercise, our first look at the upcoming weekend's NFL games. On the way, right here on The Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Jason, I have a confession to make, and I know that everybody's been waiting for this confession from me. I love that Justin Bieber song on Saturday Night Live. I think I like Justin Bieber. But it's more Chance the Rapper, I think, that wrote that song. Holy, that he performed on Saturday Night Live, was awesome.
I'm going to have to find it.
Reminds me of Chance the Rapper's Sunday Candy. Anyway, we can all use expert guidance with our weekly football betting. And now Feast of the Sports Betting Network is providing all access to everything we offer for the rest of the football season for only $129. From now through Super Bowl Sunday, you'll get our weekly digital betting guides with power ratings, predicted scores, and consensus picks for the games each week, access to our 24/7 live video stream and daily email updates featuring the best bets from every show host and guest, breaking news, advanced stats, and game previews on VSiN.com, plus our 2020-2021 bowl betting guides. Give yourself an edge this season. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to get your football midseason special today. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. I'm telling you, man. Good song. Chrissy? What do you know about Justin Bieber? Anything? Nothing? Nothing at all?
I'm not sure you and I could be friends anymore, Gil. I'm sorry.
I thought that might have some impact. You think of all the things that have gone on this last week, that would be the thing that would send it over.
That's the straw that broke the camel's back. Right there.
That's awesome. All right, three more games to get to. What you got? Oh, we all had a good laugh.
Yeah. Jaguars at the Chargers.
Jaguars are 1-5. Jaguars lose to the Lions, as we talked about, 34-16. Minshew, 25 of 44, 243, one touchdown, one pick. He was sacked once. Keelan Cole, six catches for 143. Jaguars only had 44 rushing yards, only had the ball for 24-03. It's their worst start. And that's saying something with the Jaguars. 1-5 is the Jaguars' worst start since 2015. They've allowed 30-plus points in five straight games. Is that good? And they're playing the Chargers. Chargers coming off a bye. I'll say Chargers, who are 1-4 themselves, by the way, but we think of them quite differently because they probably should have beaten the Saints and they should have beaten the Buccaneers. I'll say Chargers -7. Am I low?
You are low. It's anywhere from 7.5 to 8.5. I'm going to be at the 8.5, you know, and I know the Chargers lost a couple close games, but Justin Herbert, I think, is just ready to explode. And I think Jacksonville is ready to sink like a rock, the way we kind of thought they were in the offseason. And we let that first game out of the blocks. We let that kind of change our opinion on them. You know, the only reason we're not talking about them more is because of the Jets. being as bad as they are. But I think Jacksonville was in a race to the bottom. They'll probably finish second of the Jets, but they're in a race to the bottom. And I think this Charger team, you know, I question their coaching at times, but not the talent. And I think this is the kind of game where they could just absolutely explode. And I think they will. Like I said, I see it anywhere from 7.5 to 8.5. I'm using the 8.5. I like the highest number possible.
Yeah. And you know what? You know how you often say, I like your number better than this one. I like your better number than mine. As soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, I think I'm low. Because I think you're right. It should be more than 7. So 8.5 from Chrissy, Chargers versus Jacksonville. All right. Next.
Okay. Good one. Maybe the best game of the week. Steelers at the Titans.
5-0 versus 5-0. Big Ben in the Steelers' rout of the Browns yesterday. 14 of 22 for 162, one touchdown, no picks. He was sacked twice. James Conner, 20 carries, 101 and a touchdown. Claypool, 4 for 74, also carried one in the end zone on the ground. James Washington, 4 for 68, a touchdown. Bad news for the Steelers, though, with Devin Bush. Their standout linebacker, feared to have a significant knee injury. We will get the official update here today. And as far as Tennessee, we talked about it ad nauseum. Not only the Romeo Crennel decision to go for two up 36-29, but prior to that, Mike Vrabel with an intentional 12 men on the field to basically save his team 40 seconds. So fourth and goal at the one, and then fourth and goal at the one. Again, we talked about it. Houston decides to go for it. That was the proper move with 1:53 left. Watson to Cook's touchdown, but then they failed to get the 2-point conversion. 11-play, 76-yard, 1 minute, 41 second drive for the Titans that ended with Tannehill to Brown, 7-yard score. They win the coin flip in overtime because, of course, they do. And then on the second play, Tannehill to Henry, 53 yards. 4 plays later, Henry crashes in from the 5. Ball game, 42-36. Fourth win this season by the Titans, Chrissy, by 6 points or fewer. They're living right. Tannehill, 30 of 41 for 364, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick, 2 sacks. Henry, 22 for 212 and 2 touchdowns, and then 2 catches for 52. Included in that 212 yards rushing, a 94-yard signature Derrick Henry touchdown scamper with 9:37 left in the fourth quarter to put Tennessee up 27-23 in what was a topsy-turvy fourth quarter. Anthony Firkser, 8 catches for 113 and a touchdown. 601 total yards of offense for the Titans. It's a franchise record, including 263 on the ground. You know, Houston had 412, and they got outgained by almost 200 yards. It's the second 5-0 start in franchise history for the Titans. 2008 was the last time. They also may have some bad news. We have that tweet, Jason Dewey. Taylor Lewan, their standout left tackle, he could have a major, major injury. As well, here it is from Chris Mortensen, the Mort Report. Titans starting left tackle Taylor Lewan will have an MRI on Monday morning to determine if he indeed suffered a torn ACL that team physicians diagnosed early in the Titans-Texans game, as Jay Glazer reported earlier this evening. This is from Mort yesterday. So wins for both the Steelers and the Titans, but both teams might have lost somebody key. I'll tell you, I don't know how you – I never have guessed pick-ems this year, but this is kind of a pick-em to me. I'll say pick-em.
Well, I like your number better. I see it. I see the Pittsburgh. I see Pittsburgh favored anywhere from 1.5 to 2.5. I got to tell you, my numbers come to pick them myself, and I'm sure I'll hear from the black and gold out there. You know, all their fans tell me, you know, the power of negative thinking, Chris. Thanks a lot. You know, but I think this game's a real legitimate pick. That's a big injury, though, at left tackle for the Titans, because you know they're gonna have to pressure Tannehill, and they're gonna have to obviously stop the run with Derrick Henry. By the way, I made a little note here for guys. Some of you young guys out there might not remember Eric Dickerson, kind of a forgotten running back, but a guy who had 2,000 yards 1 year, a Hall of Fame running back. Derrick Henry reminds me a little bit of Eric Dickerson. So if you want to get some film clips of Eric Dickerson, go take a look at him. I'm not ready to put Henry above Dickerson yet, but it's kind of that style of a running back. And both are terrific. But this to me is a pick'em game. So I'm going to open 1.5 just because I see it as high as 2.5 out there. So I'm going to open 1.5, and they'll probably bet me the Steelers. And listen, come Sunday morning, I'm sure I'll be rooting for the Steelers. But money-wise, I think this game should be a pick.
I hope people haven't forgotten about Eric Dickerson, but you know what? That's a great comparison. Derrick Henry is a bigger version of Dickerson in the sense that they both ran upright, right? They both ran up tall and have a surprisingly unbelievable north-south speed. Not guys who will go in different directions quickly, but when they get out in the field and you're like, oh, this guy will get caught. And it was amazing how they would never get caught, both of these guys. You're like, how is Derrick Henry going to get to the house at that size? It was the same with Dickerson, except for that time that Darryl Green ran him down, but he ran down everybody. All right, one more. What do you got?
Bears at the Rams.
Bears at the Rams, 5-1 versus 4-2. The Bears are 5-1. Paper tiger, I guess, but man, they're still 5-1. Foles yesterday in the win against the Panthers, 23 of 39 for 198, one touchdown, a pick, sacked zero times. Only 261 total yards of offense for the Bears. 10 penalties for 92 yards. They got to clean that up, but they were plus two in turnovers. And at 5-1, that's the best start for the Chicago Bears since 2012. Brent Musburger said it on our podcast on the Megapod the other day. He was like, because a couple of us had the Panthers. He was like, beware of that Bears defense. And he did it in that Brent voice, so it had much more gravitas than it otherwise would have. The Rams yesterday lose, as we mentioned, to the Niners. Goff, 19 of 38 for 198, two touchdowns, a pick, sacked zero times. But again, when they were down 21-9, they were knocking at the door, and then he threw that pick on fourth down, and that was kind of it for the Rams. That was their most credible chance in that ball game yesterday. I will say the Rams will be favored here, though, for all the reasons we've stated about the Bears time and time again, how so many of those wins could have just as easily been losses, though not yesterday. So I'll say the Rams, and I'll make it as high as 6. How about that?
It's 5.5 and 6. It's a little more 5.5. I like the 5.5 a little better. The total here we're looking at is 46, which a decade ago would have been a high total. Now it's one of the lowest totals on the board for the for Sunday's games. I'm trying to think. I think it's the second lowest total. So I think that this should be a pretty close game. So I'm going to stick with the 5.5 here. But I, you know, what Brent says is true. That Bear defense is really, really good. Now, the Rams, I know you've talked a couple times about that interception in the end zone. That kid for San Francisco, I forget his name. I know he's bounced around a little bit. He made an unbelievable play. That was a great interception. So, I mean, I'm the one to not fault Goff because he should have read the defense a little bit better. But that kid made a fantastic play. But it was fourth down. I mean, Goff had to throw the ball in the end zone. I mean, you know, no sense in throwing it away or anything else. And he didn't have a safe place to go. But I think the Rams still look pretty good. I think they do. But I like the lower number here just because I think it's going to be a fairly low-scoring game.
Yeah, I think you're talking about Jason Verrett also of the Niners. That's who it was, Jason
Verrett. Yeah, Jason Verrett. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, that's okay. So what I like best in the end is I think I like San Francisco at New England. What was your number there again?
3.
Three, yeah. I think I like
San Francisco. I think it's 3.5. Yeah.
Yeah. If you give me the hook, I like San Francisco. I think I like Arizona against Seattle. And you know what, Chrissy? If Buffalo's only 10 against the Jets, I may lay the 10. How about you?
Well, it's 11 at my place, I can tell you that. I like Carolina getting over 7. I like San Francisco. And we're going head to head. I like Seattle over Arizona.
Ooh, Oppo. Well, that's why we do this.
Yeah.
Chrissy, thank you as always. Family. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Chris,
my pleasure.
Chris Andrews, everybody, at Andrews Sports. Thanks for listening. Good luck with all your bets. Enjoy the doubleheader in football tonight from all of us at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.